you pursuing a natural lifestyle for yourself and your family? Are you concerned about the standard American diet and options available for healthcare? Are you curious about herbs for health or already practice home herbalism? You've come to the right place. My mom, Naomi Kilbrick, is a Christian clinical herbalist and owner of Laura Chi Wellness. She teaches simple ways to live in a more healthy way and to work with plants to promote and restore health. Welcome to the Family Herbalism Podcast.
Welcome back to the Family Herbalism Podcast and to Herba Remedium students. Today, we're going to be talking about some common winter viruses. And to most of us, these are quite familiar because we grew up with having these colds on a regular basis. I remember when I was a kid, I would have the stomach flu almost every year. And of course, it was always around Christmas. And even as obnoxious as that was, we know that science has now shown that these run-ins with viruses are actually really good for us in the long run because they strengthen our immune systems. They teach us and our bodies how to be more resilient to potentially more serious illnesses. And this is why we often see kiddos that are getting sick frequently year after year, or sometimes month after month for a season. And then gradually as they get older, we see that they're staying healthier for longer periods of time. And even though this is technically normal, it does not make it easy in the moment. Illnesses interrupt our schedules, they interrupt our budgets, they can make us feel crummy. They can trigger anxiety. What's going to happen if they don't get over this cold? What if it turns into something else? What if it's not just a cold? And overall, they can be a frustrating experience. So this is a common question that I get from mothers in particular. What herbs should they have on hand to support their families through colds and flu? Many of us grew up with over-the-counter medications. These medications would do things like decongest our sinuses, calm down an irritated cough, maybe lower a fever, take away those temporary body aches, and generally help us to feel like we have some more energy. Now, we also know now that these medications don't come without a price tag. And this is concerning enough that a lot of parents are looking for alternatives to help strengthen theirs and their children's immune systems and help them recover quickly. We're coming into an age where parents don't just want to mask these symptoms, but they also want to actually help their bodies, their children's bodies, to recover more quickly, to fight the virus off and improve overall. We know that feeling better from taking medications is not necessarily the same thing as actually being healthier. And so I imagine that the fact that you're here means that you also are one of those people who are interested in working with herbs and foods that are going to support general health and support the process of recovering from illness. Now, medications will also typically cripple our immune systems and fight against natural processes in the body that are actually helpful in recovery. So even if you disregard potential long-term consequences of overuse of medication, it isn't typically the best option for treating common colds and flu. Of course, there's always a caveat for severe symptoms, prolonged illness, different situations. Medication can provide a much needed reprieve and may even help to prevent serious outcomes associated with extreme symptoms. But these are the exceptions, not the rule. For most kids and adults experiencing common viruses, the best protocols are really the common home remedies and traditional herbs. And just like with the last episode, I'm going to provide you with some common home remedies that aren't just the herbs. There are a lot of things we can do that maybe you remember from your own childhood, the way that your mother would take care of you when you were sick. The first is sleep and rest for obvious reasons. A good rule of thumb is that an adult will need at least 9 hours of sleep while they are sick, and they should do their best to pace themselves throughout the day to reserve their energy. Kids are pretty good at regulating their energy that they spend while they're sick, but they may need some help with sleep if they're restless and uncomfortable for whatever reason once they go to bed and the home is more quiet and people are settled down. That's when the symptoms associated with colds and flu tend to be the most uncomfortable because we no longer have the distractions of other things to keep our minds busy. Number two is vitamins. Vitamin C, D, K2, and zinc are the most commonly boosted vitamins while sick. Or when we're exposed, we often start taking these extra vitamins to help prevent us from getting sick in the first place. I would like to emphasize that the amounts in common supplements are actually not intended for recovery from illness. They're intended to meet the bare minimum requirements for living. So that means that when you get a vitamin C supplement that has like 150 milligrams, that's not supposed to help you get better, and it's not going to help you get better. You actually can take and probably should take, for the most case, substantially higher amounts of these vitamins while you're sick. I will usually recommend that adults take about 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C a few times a day. And even for kids, they can take usually a few thousand milligrams of vitamin C every day. Depending on the severity of the illness, I will actually recommend that some adults take 1,000 milligrams every hour. And studies show that kids can safely take 1,000 milligrams per year of age. So a six-year-old could take 6,000 milligrams a day. That might seem like a huge amount, but that's because what they put in typical supplements is so little compared to what we actually need. About 500 milligrams, 1,000 milligrams is about 2 teaspoons of content. So we're only taking like a couple spoonfuls worth of vitamin C that should be normally spread out in a healthy diet. But sometimes when we're sick, we need to have a little extra. So if you do take vitamin C and you find that this is triggering diarrhea, loose bowels, definitely back off. But it is water soluble. It's not going to stay, it's not going to like be stored up by your body. So it is safe to take these larger amounts. Number three for practical steps is to remember while you're eating that infective colds and flus they promote a cold tissue state. And so remember, we're talking about the various tissue states in the body that reflect imbalance. So our bodies should be not too hot and not too cold, which means not too overactive and not underactive either, needing to be somewhere in the middle. And viruses typically promote a colder state in the body, which is why when we have when we are triggered into creating a fever, our bodies are doing that to make those viruses uncomfortable. And so that's our body's natural response to counter the cold tissue state that is produced or triggered by the virus. It's trying to push it out. So we can support our immune system in rebalancing our tissue state by bringing in warm and nourishing foods. Simple foods with real ingredients, with real nutrition, limiting the sugar and all of those obvious things that we know we need to do to promote health in our bodies. But also think about how your food is cooked. So when you eat food, when that travels down into your stomach has to produce the right enzymes, the right juices to digest. And the less work we can give our stomachs, the better, so that our immune systems can focus on getting better. And when you eat soup, for example, a soup is going to be easier to digest than a raw salad, because the raw salad contains fibers and starches that need to be broken down, whereas in the soup, they're already partially broken down. So eating foods that are cooked, that are warming, that are simple, are going to be the most supportive. Think about things like bone broth or the chicken noodle soup that we had when we were kids, turkey soup, adding in vegetables like sweet potatoes and purple potatoes that have those antioxidant anthocyanin colors that are super healthy for us, mushrooms like turkey tail, reishi, maitake, shiitake. These are all supportive to the immune system. Seaweed is really rich in a variety of minerals that are needed to create energy. Purple cabbage, red onions, these also have the anthocyanins, and garlic, which is going to have fibers and phytochemicals that are supportive. When I was a kid, we followed the BRAT rule. I don't know if you've heard this before. BRAT is an acronym, B-R-A-T, for bananas, rice, applesauce, and toast. So if you're my age or older, I'm sure you've heard that acronym. So bananas, rice, applesauce, and toast, these are all simple foods, very easy to digest. Depending on the type of toast you're eating, that may or may not be the most nutritious, but in general, these are pretty easy to tolerate in our bodies as we're recovering. The fourth step is fresh air and sunshine. Now, if it's winter out, if you're listening to this early in 2024 and it's cold outside where you live, you may not want to go outside for very long, or you may not have the energy to get yourself outside. And or maybe you have a child who's sick and they just want to chill out on the couch. Okay, so consider the possibility of sitting outside in a chair wrapped up in a blanket in the sun if you can get out. But if it's bad weather and you can't get outside, fleshing the air in the room by opening the windows for several minutes every day is a good idea to help eliminate any pathogens that are in the air and refresh the environment. It's just energizing. It feels good. It's supportive to recovery. If you can't get outside, sitting in front of the window with the sun on your skin is not going to be quite as helpful as being outside, but it's still going to feel really good and supportive. Running an air purifier can also help if you can't open the windows. All of these are great ways to just freshen up the environment and speed up the natural recovery process. Fifth, I would like to mention that flu viruses cannot thrive in moist environments. Now, it's not necessarily the best idea to always have a super moist environment. We know that that is not conducive to health because it promotes things like mold growth over time. But for short, acute issues like recovering from the flu, keeping the environment nice and moist is actually really important because flu viruses can't survive in this environment. So running a humidifier can be supportive, putting a pot of water on your stove if you have a wood stove, running a shower, getting it nice and hot and steamy and sitting in that for a little bit, and then maybe even alternating this with being outside in the fresh air can be really supportive to breaking up mucus in the lungs, helping to soothe irritated lungs, and then just generally kill off the virus too. And then finally, be sure to drink plenty of clear fluids. This is especially important if you or your child has a fever or diarrhea. In this case, you will need to drink more than your daily requirement for water. And this can be hard to do if you don't feel good, but it's really important. So not just to provide hydration so that you're, you know, avoiding dehydration, but also because through that water, you're getting minerals that you need to create energy and perform cellular functions to eliminate dead viral material, to thin out the mucus and keep the viral material flowing so that you're clearing that out of your body. If drinking water is difficult, you can put fruit in your water, you can flavor it with tea, you can drink tea plain, add a little bit of water, honey or lemon juice. For some people, drinking water with a straw helps them to bypass that feeling of just like not enjoying the flavor or the consistency of water, and especially if you're just not feeling too good. So straws can be a great little trick. Now, herbs. There's plenty of herbs. For viral illnesses in particular, I do like working with hot tea because this is a great way to bring in some warming herbs to stimulate the body's efforts, reduce symptoms, and it can also warm up the general tissue state and actually promote a breaking a sweat, which will help to cool the body down in the long run. So I like also having these herbs in tincture form because they can be fast acting and easy to use. So it, again, situation depends on what herbs, you know, it influences what herbs you choose and how you work with them. But having both on hand can make things easier at that time. And again, this is not, I'm not offering complete monographs. If you want to learn more about how a particular plant works and what tissue state it matches well to, then I encourage you to use the resources I'm including in the student notes and do your own research on each one. But in answer to the question that I receive from parents about what herbs they should keep on hand for immune support, here are my top 10 herbal recommendations. Little caveat, I anticipate that if you ask me this question in the future, I might actually throw in some different herbs. It's really hard to choose your top favorites, but at this moment in time, these are my top 10. Number one is echinacea. Echinacea is commonly used, widely available. The reason that it works for viruses is because it stimulates white cell production. So if you are, especially if you are low in white cells, white blood cells that you need to fight infections, then echinacea will be a good friend for you. It is antiviral, antibacterial. It also is a great detoxer. It impacts the lymphatic system and helps blood flow. So it's able to clear out dead viral material as well. It does help to reduce fevers, inflammation in the sinuses, and it can help to increase your appetite after being sick, where it's really important to get some extra nutrition in. Number two is yarrow. Yarrow is one of my absolute favorites for fevers. And in fact, right after comfrey, yarrow was my next favorite plant, one of my early plant friends. Yarrow is, I have found, very effective for reducing high fevers, even when medications that are commonly recommended for children's fevers didn't work. Yarrow was dependable, and I have ever since kept it as a tincture form for our family. It is antiviral and antibacterial. It helps to clear the lungs. It is stimulating to the immune system. The reason it helps with fevers in particular is because it is a diaphoretic, meaning that it helps to open the skin so that the heat can escape. It is also good at clearing stuffy sinuses, helping to reduce earaches, headaches. It can slow down diarrhea, and it can also promote appetite like echinacea. Number three is chamomile. Chamomile, yes, it can help you with sleep. It can help you with restlessness and headaches, but it can also help with fevers. It can help to, because it's cooling, it can help to reduce fevers. It can help relieve the muscle pain in the chest from coughing a lot. And because it is a relaxing nervine, it can also help with the natural anxious and frustration, you know, the anxious feelings and frustration that we experience when we're not well. It can also help to slow down diarrhea. Overall, it's a great choice. It's so accessible. You can get it everywhere, and it's great for all kinds of things. Number four is rose hips. Now, rose hips I love because they are super high in vitamin C. They're actually one of the highest plant sources of vitamin C. It does help with sore throats, with reducing fevers, because they're astringent and toning to the tissues. And also, it can help with calming down the fast breathing and the heart rate that's pretty typical with fevers. And In contrast to the echinacea and yarrow, it can actually help with constipation. So if you find that your digestion just completely slows down, you're like, I am not feeling good, and I am just not even going to the bathroom. Rose hips can help with that. Number five is garlic. Garlic is great to have on hand dried. It's also great to have on hand fresh. If you can keep it fresh, you can keep it fresh for a little while in the fridge, but if you're able to keep some on hand, it's great for all sorts of things. It's a good source of zinc. So zinc is one of those nutrients that's recommended for supporting the immune system through illness, and you can get that naturally from food sources. There are different seeds and nuts that have zinc, and garlic has zinc too. It can help with reducing fever, easing a dry cough, clearing congested lungs, earaches, constipation, helps to clear the infection. It's antibacterial, antiviral. And it actually helps to regulate the immune system's function. So we don't call it an immune stimulant, we call it an immune modulator, which is an important distinction that hopefully, if you have not learned about yet, you will learn about very soon. Number six is ginger. Ginger is another one that you can have dried. It's widely available in tea form. You can also keep it fresh in your fridge. Ginger can help with an upset stomach, but it can help with a lot of different types of pains too, like headaches and earaches and pain in your face. And, you know, if you've got some sinus stuff going on, it can help with pain in the throat. Having a nice ginger tea can be very soothing to many of the symptoms that we associate with a common cold and flu. It also can work in a very similar way to garlic and to yarrow, with opening up the pores so that you can let out the heat. It's like opening up the windows to let out the heat. And so ginger can help with fevers. And it can also help with breaking up and clearing the congestion in your lungs from excess mucus. So it's very useful. Number seven is peppermint. Peppermint, again, is very cooling. It helps to thin out the mucus, so it's easier to cough it up. It can also help with headaches and stuffy sinuses. It can help with just promoting energy. Like, we feel tired when we're sick, and we feel like, man, I wish I could just have a cup of coffee right now, right? And or maybe if your child is just dragging their feet because they just don't feel good, giving them a cup of peppermint tea can help them to feel a little bit more comfortable. Peppermint, like ginger, can help with an upset stomach. It can also help to calm down diarrhea. And along with the emotions, you know, and helping them to feel uplifted, it can also help with anxiousness and frustration that can come with being sick as well. Lemon balm is number eight. Lemon balm is right up there. It's one of my favorite plants, I think. It's a common one, but it's just got so many good uses. It can help with fever. All of these plants actually are usually quite safe for small children, but lemon balm is one of those that I would give to just about anybody, even a very, very young child or an elderly person. It's just a really great, safe plant to have available. So it can help reduce fevers. It is antiviral. It can help with clearing headaches. It can help with a lot of lung things like shortness of breath and coughing. It can help with promoting better sleep because it's a calming nervine. And it can help with headaches. I don't know if I mentioned that already. Restlessness because of that calming nervine property. And then interestingly, because of the way that it works as an antiviral is that it reduces the ability of viruses to infect cells. So I'm going to talk more about this in the future, but different herbs that are called antiviral or antibacterial are named so for different reasons. They have different ways of impacting the nervous system and the pathogens that are contained in the body. And lemon balm's action as an immune modulator is that it actually reduces the ability of viruses to get into the cells, which is, of course, where they replicate and grow and kind of take over an area. And so it stops that from happening. Number nine is thyme. This is time like you would have in your pantry, and you can use the time that you have stored for culinary purposes. It may be a little aged, possibly, but it likely, if it still smells like thyme, it's going to have some beneficial properties for you in recovering from a cold or flu. Thyme is excellent for sinus congestion. It really helps to break up mucus. It is antiviral, antibacterial. When you inhale the essential oils from thyme, it disinfects your lungs. It kills germs that are in your lungs. It can help to calm spasmodic coughing. So that's another reason to be inhaling the essential oils of thyme. And I don't mean necessarily literally the essential oils that you get in a bottle, but when you smell thyme tea, you're inhaling the volatile essential oils, and that's going to be disinfecting your lungs as well. Thyme is, believe it or not, a demulcent. If you haven't learned what a demulcent is yet, it means that when it comes in contact with other liquids, like the mucus in your digestive tract or your respiratory tract, it creates a thicker, softer mucusy type substance that is very soothing to inflamed sore tissues. And it does that in the respiratory system. It also helps with reducing fevers, constipation, and stimulates appetite. Number 10 is licorice. Licorice is an adaptogen. It's an immune modulator. It's just very supportive to energy production in the body and also helps with a number of symptoms such as sore throat, constipation. It's calming, it's energizing, and it is a tonic to the respiratory system. So that means it makes the lungs stronger when you take it over a period of time. But if you're just taking it while you're sick, it's going to help to calm down dry spasmodic coughing and also ease a sore throat. So all good plants. Now, if you're an avid listener of the podcast, you may be wondering where the rest of the herb recommendations are, because historically I share a long list, or you may be a student at Herba Remedium and you're wondering why I didn't list other herbs of your favorites for colds and flu. And the truth is that there are tons of herbs that can be supportive to a person who is experiencing a viral illness. And I chose these because they're generally easy to find and they're familiar. Most of them we've worked with before, whether it's for cooking or other, you know, basic tea purposes. And they're reliable. They have been proven over time through lots of use by real people to do the jobs that I talked about. If you would like to add other herbs to your list, I would encourage you to look for herbs that have the following actions. Herbs that are nutritive, because they have lots of nutrients, that are diaphoretic, because they help your body to sweat, your pores to open, that are warming, and that are also demulcent, soothing for all of that irritated tissue. I do have a few recipes for you. These are all listed in the student outline for Herba Remedium students. Tea recipe number one is to add the following ingredients to a quart-sized jar, cover with near boiling water, simmer for half an hour, strain, and then sip throughout the day while sick. So you do not need to drink all of this at once, but a full quart will last you a good long day. And this would contain 4 teaspoons of mullein leaf, 2 teaspoons of wild cherry bark, 1 teaspoon of echinacea flower and leaf, 1 teaspoon of rose hips, and half a teaspoon of yarrow flower and leaf. This is a recipe that I have used for clients of mine who have said that it made a huge difference with them. There's one in particular I remember who kept having infection after infection, was having a hard time recovering before getting sick again. And this recipe made a big difference in shortening the length of the illness they had at that time. And afterwards seemed to snap out of it. So their immune system was doing much better afterwards. The following recipe is for a cough syrup. And so this is not for babies because it does contain honey, but you would put these ingredients in a half pint jar, cover and shake to combine, and it should keep for the winter in a pantry. So not a very hot or light, exposed to light area, but it should last for a while. So you'd put a quarter cup of raw honey in this jar, followed by 2 tablespoons of fractionated coconut oil. Pause that thought for a second. I tried regular coconut oil in this recipe once and basically ended up with separated ingredients that solidified the jar. That was not appetizing and we did not end up using it. So fractionated implies that the properties of the coconut oil have been permanently separated so that they will not solidify at cool temperatures. It's going to stay liquid. And this is often used for making roller bottles or other recipes that use essential oils. But fractionated is also safe to ingest. So you would use fractionated coconut oil alongside the raw honey, and then you would add in a pinch of cinnamon and either 2 tablespoons of yarrow-infused apple cider vinegar or 1 tablespoon of yarrow tincture and 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. And then you would add 1 drop of lemon essential oil. And make sure, of course, that any essential oils you're putting on your skin or taking internally are 100% real natural essential oils with no additives. The final recipe that I want to share with you came from late herbalist Juliet DeBarclay-Levi. I believe I'm pronouncing this correctly. I saved this recipe a while back from a book I was reading. And for these ingredients, you would steep them covered for half an hour in a quart jar. This is a typical way to preserve and or to prepare an infusion. And she says to put in 1/2 cup of dried elderflowers. If you do not have elderflowers and you have Japanese knotweed growing nearby, this would be a good alternative. Then you put in 1/4 cup of dried yarrow leaves and flowers, 2 tablespoons of dried rose hips, and 2 tablespoons of dried peppermint. Now, I still have a couple other remedy options for you, one of which is not a tea, but this formula is probably the recipe I have given out the most in my entire career so far as an herbalist. And it is a rehydration formula. Rehydration formula, as in it will help your body to retain fluid better and use it appropriately so that if you have diarrhea, if you are vomiting, your body, which would naturally become more deficient in water, more dehydrated, will actually soak the water that you're drinking into the cells, absorb it into the cells more quickly so that you don't lose as much, even if you throw up or have diarrhea again. But I've also found that this formula is really great for people who are sweating a lot in the summer or who have difficulty remembering to drink enough water or who for other reasons are needing to quickly get some extra fluid into their cells. So this is a recipe that I keep on hand and I highly recommend that you write this down. So to 1 quart-sized jar, you will add 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, 2 tablespoons of honey, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 1/4 teaspoon of lemon juice. Then you top it off with water, close it, and shake it to combine. And you would sip throughout the day alongside other fluids as well. And like I said, this can make a huge difference for someone who is sick. I have personally observed that when taking this formula myself or when one of my kids drinks it, that our energy is noticeably higher afterwards. Now, I also want to leave you with directions on how to prepare a thyme steam. So a steam is when you prepare a tea. You can do this in a bowl or a mug. And then instead of drinking it, you would actually put a towel or a blanket or something over your head and the bowl so that you create a tent that your head is inside of, along with the bowl. And then once you've put in either dried thyme or thyme essential oil, you're going to be inhaling the vapors, which will have the essential oils. It will also have the humidity, which again is very soothing to the lungs. And this is going to be antibacterial. It's going to be antiseptic to your lungs and demulcent and have some other nice properties to it. So I have found that when I do a steam, whether it's with thyme or rosemary or eucalyptus or peppermint or any of those nice respiratory herbs, it really helps to break up congestion. So I use this if I'm experiencing a lot of sinus pressure. It's very relieving. You'll actually notice very often that your nose starts dripping afterwards. That's okay. Keep a tissue nearby so that you can come out and blow your nose if you need to. But this can be repeated safely throughout the day as needed. I especially like to do it before bed because bedtime, again, is one of those periods when the congestion seems to collect and you really want to make sure you're able to get a good night's sleep. So doing a thyme steam before bed can be especially supportive. There are a few products that I would like to give an honorable mention to as well. If you're stocking up on supplies to help your family while you're experiencing a common cold or flu, these can be really great to have on hand. Some of them you can make yourself, but if you aren't interested in making them yourself, then you can also purchase them from another herbalist. There are tons of recipes out there for these things. And whatever works for you, having them on hand is the important thing. The first is fire cider. Fire cider can help with both viral and bacterial infections. It's essentially a vinegar that's been infused with a lot of really potent ingredients like turmeric and ginger and cayenne and horseradish and garlic and all of those good things. And you can put all kinds of spices in it and flavor it however you want. There's tons of recipes out there you can find. If you do work with fire cider, which you'll want to keep in the fridge unless it's been canned, then I would encourage you to water it down a little bit, especially if you're giving it to a child, because otherwise I have found it can trigger heartburn, especially if you take it at the end of the day. But it basically, it's just a really powerful immune stimulant. The second product I would like to recommend is elderberry syrup. This is a pretty popular one. It's very easy to make. You're essentially making an elderberry decoction where you simmer the elderberries on the stove and you can add in ginger and cinnamon and clove and different spices. And then once it's decocted, you would mix the strained out fluid with honey. You can also mix it with maple syrup and different types of, you know, maybe molasses, but you end up with this syrupy consistency mixed with this elderberry tea. And so elderberry syrup can be taken by the spoonful on a daily basis to help someone prevent illness, but you can also take it in small amounts throughout the day to shorten the lifespan of an illness. The next one is garlic infused honey. This one's really easy to make. You just basically cut up garlic cloves so that the, you know, the ends are chopped, they're peeled. You put them into honey and you let it sit for a few weeks. And you can eat the garlic cloves whole, or you can just take spoonfuls of the honey or use the honey in your tea. And then you get the benefit of the honey as well as the garlic. And so it can be a slightly more enjoyable way to get your garlic in if you're not a big garlic fan. The next one is doTERRA En Garde. En Garde is a blend that is sold by doTERRA in capsule form, in essential oil form. They also have cleaning ingredients and are cleaning products and toothpaste and all kinds of things you can get with En Garde. I like to have En Garde capsules on hand because I find personally that if I start to feel like I'm coming down with something, say like I have a child who's sick, and then I notice, man, my muscles are a little tired. I just feel kind of out of it at the end of the day. Might be fighting something. You take a capsule, next day take another one. And most of the time, if I catch it at that point, I don't get sick. I do find that if I take it after I start to get sick, that it will shorten the lifespan of the illness that I'm fighting as well. And then the oil itself can be just spritzed onto surfaces while members of the family are sick. And then that will help to kill off any germs that are sitting around on the surfaces and possibly reinfecting people. So lozenges and cough drops can be a great tool to have as well. I find they're an awesome alternative to cough syrups, which can have extra ingredients you might not want to have on hand. And you can make your own lozenges. I have tried this myself, but I'm not a cook and I had a hard time. I don't do candy. It doesn't come out the way I want it to. So I ended up with this pan-sized lozenge, essentially. And yeah, that was not helpful. Okay, so an alternative is finding a reputable company that sells herbal cough drops, and there are a lot to choose from. I just discovered that Traditional Medicinals sells a lozenge that is infused with their Throat Coat blend. And of course, Throat Coat is a tea blend that has been available for quite a while, with licorice and cinnamon and all kinds of soothing herbs in there. So I'm excited about that. And I would like to try it. Ricola also has some really great herbal options for cough drops or lozenges. So colds and flus are for most people relatively harmless. They're uncomfortable, yes, but they're safe to handle at home. And usually if you go to the doctor's office with a virus like this, they're just gonna send you home and tell you to rest up, drink your water, and you know, take it easy, and you'll get better. And that's true, but if you prepare ahead of time by stocking up on some of the herbs and remedies that we've discussed today, then you'll be ready to face the symptoms that you and your family are most likely to experience with a familiar virus. For additional support for things like prolonged viruses with their symptoms and fevers, be sure to check out earlier episodes on the Family Herbalism podcast, which will be shared in the student outline for Herba Remedium students. You also may be interested in chat support, which is a service that both Mindy and I offer through our clinical services to help you as needed through any particular acute care need that your family has. And you can learn more about that by visiting either www.laureltreewellnessllc.com or www.herbaremedium.com. Thank you for listening today. I appreciate you being here. Please do share this episode with loved ones that you know it will bless. If they're interested in stocking up on their own herbal remedies, they may be interested to know what herbs could be useful to them and their families. And then stay tuned for updates on the new Family Herbalist program through Herba Remedium. Remember that enrollment starts in June, and I hope that you will join us. Have a wonderful week, and I will see you here again soon.
The Family Herbalism podcast is created for educational purposes only. You are responsible for any and all medical and health decisions you choose to make. If you experience a medical emergency, please contact appropriate medical providers. To receive herbalist support, please visit www.laureltreewellnessllc.com. If you enjoy this podcast and find it helpful, please share it with your friends and family. Thank you for listening.